Genesis chapter 29, verses 18 and 20. These are the verses that we're going to look at. Primarily focus on verse 20. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. 7 years is equivalent to 61,360.6894 hours. That's a lot of hours. Over 61,000 hours that Jacob had to serve in order to marry Rachel. Now remember how Jacob met Rachel earlier in the chapter as I read it. He met Rachel at a well water, right? A water well. Earlier in the chapter, that was where they first met, around water. And it's kind of funny, that's how I met my wife, around water. I was at a water fountain when I first met my wife. So I thought of that when I read through the scripture. I met my wife around water too. I thought that was interesting, but I don't want to make this personal here. But Jacob did meet his wife at a well, a water well. And we read in chapter 29, verses 10 and 12, and it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. Now, I know this can be a trite saying, and I know this can be overused a lot, but when Jacob saw Rachel, it was love at first sight. It truly was. Jacob saw Rachel, and he immediately was drawn to Rachel. We learn later in the chapter that Rachel was the daughter of Laban. And when Jacob met Laban, in a few verses after the verses we just read, there was an agreement that was struck between the two men, an agreement that involved Rachel, of course, because Jacob was in love with Rachel. And this agreement is spelled out for us in verses 13 and 14. It says, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. Laban called Jacob, if you look at that phrase, my bone and my flesh, it's an interesting phrase. What Laban essentially was saying is that this gave Jacob the right to stay in his home. Jacob was neither a son nor a slave to Laban. So it was appropriate to work out some kind of suitable arrangement or contract that compensated Laban for his provisions and Jacob for his labor. So when he basically says to Jacob, Laban, you know, that you are my bone and my flesh, he's basically saying that you can live in my house. I'll provide you with shelter, with refuge, and I will provide you with food, clothing, but in turn, you need to work for me. And so it was not right for Jacob to work for nothing, and he didn't want to be compensated monetarily. So it was agreed upon that Jacob would work for 7 years for the right to marry Laban's daughter, Rachel. That was the contract that was made between these two men. The Bible commentator writes this: this arrangement is reminiscent of a provision in the law of Moses that permitted certain slaves to work 7 years for their freedom. That provision is found in Exodus chapter 21, verse 21. Men did not buy wives in the strict sense of the word. However, they did customarily pay a bride price. And that bride price is revealed in Genesis chapter 34, verse 12, to their future wife's family to compensate them for the care and protection provided to the woman prior to her marriage. So this is not an uncommon practice at the time, this ancient Near East practice, that this contract that was entered into by Laban and Jacob. Now, it's interesting that we believe that Jacob was about 43 when he met Rachel. Therefore, he would have been about 50 when he married Rachel. And so he's not a young man. He's not an old man. He's kind of, you know, closer to an old man than a young man. But I find that interesting that he sees Rachel, who's probably most likely much, much younger than Jacob when he met her and when he married her. But the interesting text that really jumped out at me when I studied this portion of God's word is Genesis 29, verse 20. And this is really the text I want to focus on today. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. The title of my message is simply Jacob's Labor of Love. Love. Jacob's Labor of Love. And I have three main points. And if you're taking notes, my three main points would be Jacob's service was marked by love. Jacob's service was marked by anticipation. And Jacob's service was marked by dedication. Those are the three points I want to prove from the scripture here. Three marks of Jacob's labor of love. Marked by love, by his anticipation, and his dedication. So the first point, Jacob's service was marked by his love for Rachel. For Jacob, 7 years seemed but a few short days. And why? Well, because he loved her. Love has a way of causing us to not look at things realistically at times. Love seems to overlook some things that we would normally not overlook. Now, for the most of us, we would think 7 years is a long time, very long time. If you love someone and you're falling in love with her, that person, whether it be he or she, and there is this mutual consent, and at this time, this agreement was entered upon by Jacob and Laban, that 7 years would have to go by before Jacob could marry. And that could be something that if you look at it from a negative perspective, could say, well, that's a long time. And that's something that, you know, certainly can creep into the heart. It's perspective. But see, love changes perspective. Love changes things that normally would cause us to maybe be hesitant to follow through with. And so when we talk about this verse here, we talk about this love that Jacob had for Rachel. He really loved Rachel. He really loved her. And he proved it by showing that he would be willing to go into an agreement with Laban for 7 years to marry Rachel. See, it was love that fueled Jacob's service to marry Rachel. It was love that caused him to say, 7 years? Just a few days. And that's what love does to you. Love, because love is that supreme emotion, that supreme desire that God has put into us, we seem to overlook other things because love is primary. Love is first. Love is that which drives and fuels service. It's really what it is. Why did Jacob work and labor for 7 years? Because he loved Rachel. And the same principle carries over into our service for Christ. It does. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter how long we serve the Lord for. It doesn't matter if it's a short time, long time. We love the Lord. And therefore, when we look at our love for the Lord, that drives everything. That fuels what we do for the Lord. Whether it be short, long, middle, whatever it is, time period. It's that love that fuels service. And that's the principle that we see here in the life of Jacob. He loved Rachel with all his heart. And he had never seen someone perhaps as beautiful as Rachel. Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. For Jacob, she was it. She was the woman. I felt the same way when I met my wife. To me, in my own life, and again, I don't want to make this too personal, but I already said the water fountain, right? But That's what happened to me when I first saw my wife. It was love at first sight. For me, and I don't know about her, but for me it was that way. I was stricken. You know, I was stricken with this sense of love, you know, that there was this immediate attraction and pulling to that person. I don't know how you would describe your meeting your wife, but everyone has a different story. But for Jacob, there was this love that came over him, and 7 years of labor to him was nothing if he could, at the end of the 7 years, marry Rachel. And so this is an important aspect in the Christian life, in the Christian service. The Apostle Paul makes this very clear when he describes Christians. Notice how he describes Christians here. Well, this is actually a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. The famous prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's in verses 17 and 19. The Apostle Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here, how many times is the word love used in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3? Several times. The focus is on love. Love for Christ. Love for the one who is the center of our world, the center of our universe. When Jacob saw Rachel, she became the center. She became everything to him. And he proved that by committing himself to 7 years to serve for her hand in marriage. And it's this beautiful picture of what drives the Christian when it comes to our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we look at Paul's prayer here in Ephesians chapter 3, that we might know and experience the love of Christ in a real and powerful way. I mean, that is something that we want. We want more love for Christ. We love Christ, and he's the center of our universe. He's the center of our world, but we want more of it. And that's what Paul prays for the Ephesians. He wants the Ephesians to be so blessed that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Think about that verse. Meditate upon that verse. I mean, that's a tremendous connection to what Jacob was feeling for Rachel here. How we feel for the Lord causes us to serve the Lord, causes us to see that we, as God's people, we've met the one that has changed our life. We've met the one who we've never loved like that before. And it's hit us. We're struck. We're changed. And therefore, we've got to have that person because we love them. Because he's the center. Christ is the center of the Christian's universe. It's not us anymore, but Christ. Christ is everything to the believer. And so Jacob, Rachel was everything to Jacob. And he proved it by laboring for 7 long, or how you would say, short years from Jacob's perspective. There's another verse that Paul uses in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 10. He talks about this subject of love again. So important when it comes to the Christian life, but especially in our service for Christ, it has to be fueled by love. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What a statement there. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the whole law of God. Love. That was the great tragedy of the Pharisees. The Pharisees didn't have love for God. They just had all their list of 600 rules to follow. They loved those, right? They loved all their 600 rules. They didn't love God. When Christ came and preached the truth, when God came in the flesh, Jesus Christ, how did they treat Jesus Christ? They hated him. Because he was stepping on their 600 rules. Because he was stepping on their love, right? That was what they loved. And God came in the person of Jesus Christ and exposed their love, right? And they didn't like that because their true love wasn't in God. It was in their 600 rules. It was in their religion. It was ultimately in themselves, right? See, Jacob, when he loved Rachel, it was a pure and a real and a life-changing love. And it caused him to want to serve, to prove to her how much she meant to him. And boy, what a way to prove to a woman you love her, by serving, right? By doing. What a way. I mean, Paul lists that illustration in Ephesians chapter 5. When he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. This is the love that Jacob had for his wife. This is the love that Jacob had for Rachel. The love that we have in Ephesians chapter 5. And yet, you see how he applies it to the Christian life, to the Christian church? What a wonderful thing when we have that love for Christ and then love for one another. Therefore, these two things must fuel our Christian service in the same way it did in Jacob's love for Rachel. And that's the wonderful thing about this verse, is that it's so applicable. It's so relevant to us today in our service for Christ. Because you could say, what in the world does Jacob's love for Rachel have to do with me? And it has to do with everything with you. It has to do everything with you and for me when it comes to our service for Christ. We have to love Christ. We have to put him first. And therefore, we have Christ in our hearts and we love the Lord with all our hearts. We want to serve him. We want to minister to him. We want to go beyond the extra mile to serve Christ because we love him. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Do you love him? You may know about him. You may know some things about the Savior, but do you love him as your heart? When you hear Christ in the Word, when you see Christ in the Word, does your heart beat with this beat that comes because there is something about his words? It's something about the Scripture that draws me to Christ. That's love for the Lord. And therefore, because that love is there in our hearts, we want to serve him. We want to honor him. We want to glorify him. We want to live a life that is centered. Our universe is around Christ, not us anymore. And that's what happened to Jacob. His universe was now centered around Rachel, if you would. And so, what a wonderful picture of the Christian life and his service for the Lord. Well, this leads to my second point. Jacob's service was marked by his love for Rachel, but secondly, Jacob's service was marked by his anticipation to be with Rachel. He wanted to be with her all the time. He didn't want to just say hi and goodbye. He wanted to be with her. 7 years might seem long, like a long time, right? Think about it. 7 more years to go to school to finish your degree. Think about that, going to school. 7 years, I got to go to school for 7 years to get a degree? Ugh, too long. Let's shorten that up, right? 7 years to save for my first house. 7 years, boy, can I get that closer? 7 years is a long time. Or 7 years to retire. 7 years to retire. Why can't I retire now? You see how the human being thinks? It's too long. It's just too long. The reason why Jacob didn't see that it was too long was because he had this anticipation to be with Rachel his whole life. So in terms of his whole life, 7 years is just a drop in the bucket, if you will, in the eyes of Jacob. He wanted to be with Rachel. He anticipated to be with Rachel. And there's a certain wonderful blessing because we love Christ that we have this anticipation to be with Christ, this anticipation to spend time with Christ, to be in his presence and to hear him and to see him, this anticipation. The same anticipation that Jacob had to be with Rachel carries over to how Christians anticipate to be with Christ. It does. Listen to Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's this anticipation of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you look for that? Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what happens when you're a Christian, is that you know Jesus physically isn't here, but one day he's going to be here. Whether I go first and I go to be with the Lord, or he comes down while I'm still alive, Jesus is going to appear. And I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see him, because I love him. And because I love him, there is an anticipation to see him. That's the way Jacob was. That's how he was taken with Rachel. He was anticipating that the 7 years would go just like that, and then he'll be with Rachel the rest of his life. And that's the way we look at life as Christians. We love Christ, and we anticipate to see him. You know, like I was saying in my prayer, we recently have, some of our brothers have gone and sisters have gone to be with the Lord. There was this anticipation in their whole life to be with the Lord, and now they are with the Lord forever. Dr. Allison is in heaven with the Lord forever, never separated again, never any more labor, no more toil. He's all over. He is now with the Lord forevermore. Kim Wagner's the same way. And if you're a Christian, you're going to follow in their footsteps because we're anticipating the same thing. Do you anticipate the Lord Jesus Christ because you love him? Do you think about him coming? Do you think about what that means for you? Or do you just think about the cares of the world and the problems of life and the troubles that you're experiencing? Jacob didn't think of any of that. He thought that the 7 years would go by so fast, and it did for him. And then the next thing he knew, once the 7 years came by, he would marry Rachel. And it's the same principle for the people of God. Another verse that's wonderful to think about here in terms of that anticipation, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is, right there, looking, anticipating the blessed hope. Paul says, look and anticipate Christ coming. Who is Christ? He's the Savior. He's the God. He's the great God. There's no one like him. You see how anticipation not only relates to Jacob's relationship with Rachel, but it relates to our relationship with Christ. We have the same type of anticipation. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, love fuels service. Love leads to anticipation. The reason why Jacob anticipated being with Rachel was because he loved her. You see how it feeds each other? You've got to have love first in order to anticipate, right? If Jacob didn't love Rachel, do you think he would be willing to work 7 years for her? Of course not. It all starts with love. That's why you have to examine yourself today. I have to examine myself. Do you love Jesus Christ? And if you do, it will be proven in your life. It will be proven in your service for him. Do you serve the Lord? Do you want to please him? Do you want to obey him? Do you want to bring honor to him? That's the way it was with Jacob. But let us consider third and finally this last point. Jacob's service was marked by his dedication to Rachel. We see his love, his anticipation, but then he was dedicated to what he said. He was dedicated to Rachel. Jacob was faithful to Rachel. He loved her. He looked forward to being with her, yes. Therefore, because he loved her and he anticipated to be with her, he was dedicated and faithful to her. He wanted Rachel, and he wasn't interested in anybody else or anything else. He wanted Rachel. And therefore, we see that Jacob was dedicated to labor and serve for Rachel. And that's the way it is for Christians. You know, Christians are called faithful followers of the Lord. Listen to how Paul describes the Christians in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Faithful in Christ Jesus. What does that tell you? That tells you that these Ephesians that he's talking about are dedicated to Christ. They're committed to Christ. They're not committed to their idols. They're not being lured away by other things, by the world. They've got one mind, one heart, and that one mind and one heart is Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 1, that they are faithful, they're committed, they're dedicated, just like Jacob was to Rachel. He does the same thing in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. He says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is so important when it comes to our love for the Lord, is that we've got to be dedicated to that. That proves that we love Him. Not only do we want to see Him and be with Him, that anticipation, but the dedication is just as important. We need to be committed to our Savior. And that's what really the Lord Jesus Christ talks about. If you read Matthew chapter 24, listen to these verses. These are the words of Christ. And in Matthew 24, verses 11 and 14, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. We know all about that, don't we? Christ says that there are going to be false prophets. Are there false prophets today in the world? Yes. And are there a lot of false prophets in the world? Yes, they are. And he says, because iniquity shall abound. Is iniquity abounding? Yes. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But notice that verse, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's that talking about? Christ is saying, those who are dedicated to me, those who love me, those who are faithful to me, they shall endure. They shall prove that they love me because they are dedicated to me. Many of these people that he was talking about during this time and later on, right after Christ's death, would die for the cause of Christ. Why? Because they were dedicated to Christ to the very end. They loved the Lord. They wouldn't bow their knee to Nero and say, Nero is Lord. I won't do it. Why? Because I love Jesus Christ. You have to bow the knee to Nero or you will die. Kill me. That was the Christian in the early church. Why? Because no one else mattered. The whole universe revolved around Christ. If you take Christ from my life, then life's not worth living. There's no reason or purpose to live. That's the way the Christian is. That's our mentality. That's what Christ is saying here in Matthew chapter 24. Dedication, commitment to the Lord. Now, there's a very sad example of someone who wasn't faithful to the Lord in Scripture. We're looking at all the positives, you know, but there was a man specifically named in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 that didn't dedicate himself to the Lord. He was faithful to the Lord for a time, but then he fell away from the Lord. He fell away from Christ. That man was Demas, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Listen to what Paul says about Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. But Demas was a man who started out, right? But it got too hard for him. 7 years is too long. I'm not going to continue to serve. I love the world more than the Lord. And that's the great temptation for all of us, is to stop serving because of the one we love. Jacob didn't do that. And the Christian, the true Christian, doesn't do that either. We have a love for one person, one true love, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Time revealed that Demas wasn't one who loved the Lord. Time revealed that he really loved the world. Time revealed that Judas Iscariot didn't love the Lord. He loved money more than the Lord. What about you? Will time reveal that you love the Lord? Or will you be like Demas or Judas? Something else will get your attention. Something else will pull your heart away from Christ. What will it be? Don't let it happen, my friend. Don't let it happen. 7 years is but a few days because I love Christ. But believe me, you're going to be in battles and wars, and you're going to go through these times where Christ is going to... Is Christ really worth it? You think Jacob as a human being thought that? He's human, right? 7 years, is it worth it? I'm in my third year. I got 4 more years to go. Scripture doesn't give us any indication he ever doubted that. He ever thought about leaving and saying, I've had it, it's too long. He followed through with it. He was dedicated. He was committed because he loved Rachel. Are you dedicated to Jesus Christ like Jacob was to Rachel? We all have to examine ourselves in that respect, right? So in closing, we have considered one of the great love stories in the Bible, isn't it? Rachel, Jacob and Rachel. But there's an even greater one in Scripture. It's God's love for sinners. That's the greatest love story in the Bible, the greatest love story that we can ever hear. And it's really summarized in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, Jacob loved Rachel, but God so loved the world that he sent his Son, his only beloved begotten Son, to die for who? To die for people who he liked, people who liked him? Sinners, rebels, people who deserve nothing but God's judgment and wrath. That's who Christ served. That's who Christ came to save. And why did he do it? Why did Christ come to save the likes of you and me? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. 7 years was nothing to Jacob. The cross was a great test for Christ, but he looked beyond the cross to see what that would accomplish for his people. Why? Because he loved his people. And Christ loves sinners. He loves you. He went to the cross to die for you. And if you don't have that love for Christ, Christ has that love for you. You need to come and realize that. You need to come and see that there is someone that will love you more than your parents, more than your siblings, more than anybody in this world. That person is Jesus Christ. He will love more so than even Jacob loved Rachel. That's the Savior who we serve. That's the deep, deep love of Jesus that we are singing about. Do you know that love? And if you know that love, then you will in turn love him. You will want to be with him. And you will be faithful to him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, Lord. We know that we would not understand any of these gospel truths without the Holy Spirit helping us and guiding us. So, Lord, really, at the end of the day, we give you all glory. We give you all honor, because without the Bible, without your word, what would we know? We would know nothing about God and nothing about who we are and who Christ is. But you've given us this book, Lord, this holy book, to study and to live our lives according to it. And, oh, Father, we love you because you first loved us. And we come to you now, Lord, and pray, give us more love for Jesus. Give us more love for souls. Give us more love for our family members and for our friends and for our neighbors. Even maybe when it's hard to do. It's hard to love. Lord, you can give us the grace to do it. You can give us the grace and power to overcome our prejudices and our hates and our thoughts. Because, Christ, you didn't treat us the way we should have been treated. We didn't get what we deserved. Well, Lord, help us to love as Jacob. But more importantly, help us to love as Christ. Let me give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.